I was your hero. Damn.
Welcome back to Heroin, Butt Sex, and Lord of the Rings. You're here again with me, Richie Molino, and Sean Keen. How are you, Sean?
I'm doing well. I'm ready to learn some true meanings, indisputable things about what famous songs mean.
Yeah, let's tear into this. We are joined this week by a special guest, Wendy Molino, no relation, a Emmy-winning writer for Bob's Burgers. You can follow her fantastic career at Wendy Molino on Twitter?
Twitter. It's an offshoot.
So you started your own Twitter and it's called Twitter.
It's called Twitter.
Okay.
It's for horse lovers only because it's a combination of trot and Twitter.
So
it's a horse lovers only. Yeah, okay. Twitter.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to check that out. Wendy is actually my older sister, one of my personal heroes, and a real
bitch.
A real mean lady. So I'm scared.
Where are you guys family-wise? How many?
Five children.
Five kids.
Where are you in the order, Richie?
I'm number three. Wendy's number two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we got Jenny. She's the boss. She's number one. We got Megan and Lizzie bringing up the rear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a lot of
AKA the accidental children.
Yeah. I think only Lizzie.
Okay.
I'm definitely an accidental child. Like,
really?
For sure.
Wait, how many kids?
We have four, but I was born 14 months after my older sister.
Well, I mean,
my parents have admitted it.
Wait, you're the fourth?
I'm the second.
Oh.
And then the third
but
kid is also
planning
an accident.
On having a second. Just the timing was an accident.
The timing was definitely
an
accident.
Yeah, you weren't just like a straight up bonus.
Yeah. My mom once at Thanksgiving said that my middle name could have been Rhythm Method.
Oh.
And I was like, well, that's a nice thing for us to think about.
Right.
Before we sit down to eat.
They wanted another child. They just didn't want you. They wanted a different one.
Yeah. They wanted
but here we are.
A taller son named Kevin. That's what they were really looking for.
I mean, everybody wants that.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
He's gorgeous.
You could hear as dusk falls, everyone opening their doors in suburban neighborhoods, just calling out, Kevin! Like, just in the hopes that a tall Kevin hears them and is disappointed in his own home and comes and joins their home.
Yeah.
That sounds great. Why don't we cut the shit, guys, and get into these three songs?
I don't know. I want to talk about tall Kevin some more.
All right.
Okay. Our first song of the week... is a really great song. I'm glad we got a chance to do this. We are going to tackle Damn, I Wish I Was Your Lover from Sophie B. Hawkins, 1992, also written by Sophie B. Hawkins. In case you can't get to them to read them, here are the lyrics. That old dog has chained you up, all right. Give you everything you need to live inside a twisted cage. Sleep beside an empty rage. I had a dream I was your hero. Damn, I wish I was your lover. I'd rock you till the daylight comes. Make sure you are smiling and warm. I am everything. Tonight I'll be your mother. I'd do such things to ease your pain. Free your mind and you won't feel ashamed. Open up on the inside. Gonna fill you up. Gonna make you cry. This monkey can't stand to see you black and blue. I give you something sweet each time you come inside my jungle book. Or is it just too good? Don't say you'll stay, because then you'll go away. Damn, I wish I was your lover. I'd rock you till the daylight comes. Make sure you are smiling and warm. I am everything tonight. I'll be your mother. I'd do such things to ease your pain, free your mind, and you won't feel ashamed. Shucks, for me there is no other. You're the only shoe that fits. I can't imagine I'll grow out of it. Damn, I wish I was your lover. Oh, yeah. If I was your girl, believe me, I'd turn on the Rolling Stones. We could groove along and feel much better. Guess what? I could do it forever and ever and ever and ever. Give me an hour to kiss you. Walk through heaven's door. I'm sure we don't need no doctor to feel much better. Let me in. Oh. Forever and ever and ever and ever. I sat on a mountainside with peace of mind, and I lay by the ocean making love to her with visions clear, walked for days with no one near, and I return as chained and bound to you. Damn, I wish I was your lover. Getting on the subway, I'm coming uptown. Damn, I wish I was your lover. Standing on the street corner waiting for my love to change. Damn, I wish I was your lover. And I'm feeling like a schoolboy, too shy, too young. Damn, I wish I was your lover. I want to open up, want to come inside, want to fill you up, gonna make you cry. Damn, I wish I was your lover. I'm getting on my camel and I'll ride it uptown. Damn, I wish I was your lover. Hanging around this jungle, wishing that this fate would change. I'll just summarize this a little bit. She is pining for someone who is not her lover, but she wishes was.
It's right there in the title.
Yeah, it's right there in the title. I could go all three ways, as you can see from my chart here.
Oh, yeah, you have a chart.
On this one, I think it's going to be really difficult to be convinced, but maybe you guys are going to have some hard evidence, because all I have right now is pretty soft evidence as to whether this song is about heroin, butt sex, or Lord of the Rings. Sophie B. Hawkins describes herself as omnisexual and stirred up a bunch of controversy when this song came out. Had the original music video banned by MTV and went back and shot another one, which was a lot tamer and sort of put her in more of a grunge type situation. The original music video, I only have like an illegal link to watch the music video, but nevertheless, I might include that in the notes or you can hunt it down yourself. It's really not that crazy.
No, it's just her dancing.
Mm-hmm.
In what looks like a makeshift napkin bra and large diaper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a nice outfit. It's yeah. A different time.
I meant that in a good way.
In a good way. It's yeah. Like a big...
As like my dream outfit is the way I want yeah. It to come across.
Right. It's sort of like what sumo wrestlers wear, except like a upper part too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does feel like something someone would have worn for like an early proto Maxim magazine before they kind of figured out what was exactly sexy, you know, where they're right. Like, we're just going to mold some thick bath towels Muslim. Into a yeah. Bikini.
Yeah, bath that's towels hot, into right? A bikini.
It's like Plaster of Paris almost. It's like almost looks like she's in a cast.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also two other dancers in the who look like something like from a PBS special about dancing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as she describes it, those are some of her New York friends.
That's so, a real brag.
It's a real brag. She's from New York.
God, I wish I had some New York friends.
Is that like code? Is that like these guys are New York friends with each other?
I don't mean to brag, but they drink red wine.
Yes.
Like, yeah. This is the most like...
Well, I mean, honestly, that's where it's hard to piece together exactly how this controversy went down. She was very openly, at least bi... And the two of the dancers dancing together are men, and they throw each other around like lovers. And in the song...
Oh, is that the source of the controversy, that they were gay? Or appeared to be gay in a gay relationship?
Quite possibly, and I think...
Oh, I thought it was her outfit. Because I was like, I remember videos from then having a lot of skin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think... Justify My Love came out not too far away from this.
Well, that did also get banned.
It did?
Yeah.
I don't remember any of this.
Huh. Yeah.
What was I doing? I was in high school. This should have been all I was thinking about.
Wow. I mean, it was all
instead I was thinking about my AP classes, guys. Yeah, gotta right. Get into that college.
That's what, you know, there you go. I got distracted by Madonna, and now I do a podcast about Lord of the Rings.
Well, it does seem like this song does not really specify any specific gender and kind of goes both ways, it seems like.
Yeah, it says her at one point, I want to walk with her on or make love to her on the ocean, mm-hmm. Something like that.
Right, but that is pretty soft. You can kind of say that she's talking about the ocean, which all kinds of people refer to as she.
They do? I thought it was boats.
Boats.
Boats are she's and oceans are him's. Is that right?
There's also Sophie B. Hawkins also recorded a cover of Damn, I Wish I Was Your Lover called Damn, I Wish You Were Our President about Hillary Clinton in 2008. And there's a documentary called The Cream Will Rise.
She really hates Obama too.
What?
Yeah. Or she did.
Well, she became conservative briefly afterwards, right? She was at a 2011 conservative rally or something.
Yeah, she's gone to a Tea Party rally.
Yeah.
This is a really interesting thing that you've brought up, because she, there's a bit of interview with her at that rally. And this was a...
My jaw dropped. You can't see it, but my jaw literally dropped.
Yeah. To have an LGBTQ hero at a conservative rally. I will say that I forget the organization, but it was put on by the LGBTQ.
It was called GOP Proud. GO Proud. Actually, yeah. They didn't put two P's in there. So it was GOP Roud.
Yeah, like GOP. A Go Proud. Like
Go
a,
Proud or yeah. GOP Roud.
Yeah. If you want to record yourself at an LGBT Republican rally, you have to wear a Go Proud.
Yeah, and the yeah. and the it is a pretty much we're in a gay disco at the video. I mean, it really is a gay nightclub, and Michael Steele is there. A whole bunch of people are there.
GOP people.
GOP people.
And GOP people.
GOP people.
GOP people. That's how they say
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And so. She performed, and then she's sort of defiant, like, "No, I'm here for my community. I don't care what political stripe they are." I think that's sort of indicative of the sort of brave/reckless way she seemed to go about much of her career.
She's omnipolitical.
Yeah, that's she's what, omnipolitical, yeah. omnisexual, yeah. but uno hit. One hit. Omni means every hit.
Yeah.
Uno hit.
Well, she had As I Lay Me Down. That was a
I've never heard of that. Is she British, by the way? Can you tell how much research I did?
Sophie is from New York City. She has
why she has New York friends.
Yeah, and she has quite a lisp. So her accent is all her own.
What's this one called? As I Lay Me Down? I doubt I heard this. Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah. Oh. This is her? I bet I, like, thought, like... Unrequited love thoughts about boys to this song in high school or college. Hold on, let's go a little further into it. As
I lay me down to sleep, this I pray.
Oh yeah, this was a bop.
She also has a couple. I mean, she has five albums, I think, and
really
pretty good songwriting. To tell you the truth,
one.
She's also featured on a Bob Dylan tribute album, and her version of I Want You is pretty legitimate. It's really? She changed right, the song quite a bit, it. But it's very good.
All right, I'll listen to it. I like Dylan.
You've written a lot of songs, right?
Oh, tons.
Yeah.
I have written a couple songs for work, and that's kind of fun, but I don't write the music.
Oh.
Well, I write like rhyming words.
Well, that's half the battle. I mean, that's mostly what we get into on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
So, does anybody have like a hard opinion here where we're like, this is what this song's about? Wendy.
Well, obviously, she wanted to write about a gay relationship.
Yeah.
Right.
So, she didn't just want to write about herself. So, what she wrote about was the longing that Frodo had for Sauron.
Oh.
Frodo had a longing for Sauron.
For Sauron, yeah. I mean, because Frodo likes the bad boy. Right?
Okay.
He's stuck with all these fucking hobbits who like are fine, but like vanilla, you know? Mm-hmm. And you see Sauron and you see his glowing ring in the sky.
Sure. And he had never seen a castle. I mean, later on he's in like all these big castles, but you know, Sauron's castle for sure.
But he can't like tell anyone that he's into Sauron. Sauron?
Well, that's fine.
Sauron? What are we saying? Sean?
I would say Sauron. In the movie, sometimes they say Sauron, but they also say Mordor.
Right,
so it's a little much.
So this is Frodo's... She's in the voice of Frodo. It's like a monologue song.
That's fine, yeah.
Singing to Sauron about how he wishes they could be together.
So this is
very
like,
sweet. Of course, it's like the ultimate betrayal if you were to tell the other Frodos or hobbits. Mm-hmm. That he was into their enemy, because Sauron, according to Wikipedia, is one of the main bad guys in Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm.
So I guess the hardest part for that interpretation for me is right at the end, and this might work, is that Frodo's about to throw the ring into the fire, which would destroy Sauron.
Mm-hmm.
Gollum gets a hold of it and falls in instead and dies.
Yeah.
So you're saying that Frodo actually was going to deliver the ring to Sauron and then in hopes of living happily ever after with Sauron.
Right. Bringing a ring to your partner, what could be more romantic than that? But I do think he was conflicted. Like, should I betray everyone and be with the man I love and give him this ring and pledge my ongoing fealty to this man? Or do I save the world? I mean, we've all been there with like a bad boyfriend or a bad girlfriend. You're like, do I do this? And I know all my other friends are going to hate me and it's not going to be good. It's not going to work out. They're probably not even going to like me that much. Or do I throw their ring into Mordor and save everyone from this horrible decision I'm about to make? So it's like an allegory. That also is an allegory.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also reminds me of this hit song.
Do you know there's a sequel to that song?
There is?
It's called Judy's Turn to Cry.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, she gets this. She wins him back.
You mean because somebody's wearing someone else's ring
exactly.
at their party? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she's, yeah, she steals Judy back from Johnny in the sequel.
Yeah.
And then there's that one lady from the 60s that just writes songs about some guy named Bill.
Really?
Don't Mess with Bill and Marry Me, Bill.
Oh, I don't know that.
They're both great songs.
Oh, I'm going to listen to those.
Sorry, I interrupted with my diversion.
No, I see where you're coming from. But I mean, I think there's a lot of textual evidence. I was an English major, so. First paragraph of the song, that's what they call it, a first paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
He's the hero of the story, but he doesn't want to be. He's already everybody else's hero, so who is he talking about? The one person who doesn't see him as a hero, Sauron, right?
That's true.
And I'll rock you till the daylight comes. Make sure you're smiling and warm. Sauron is in a cold-ass castle the whole time. He never smiles. He's like
he doesn't have a sad man. Yeah, he actually doesn't have a corporeal form anymore, as far as I know. I think that armor
But wait,
is empty.
Who's that? Okay, who's that wizard in that tower then? Is that Sauron?
That's Saruman. I mean, he has a tower. It's kind of unclear.
Wait, there's a wizard in a tower with long hair. Isn't that Sauron?
That's Saruman.
Oh, Saruman. That's who I was thinking of.
But Sauron does have a
tower. I did
a
lot of research for this. Yeah. Okay, so he's thinking of Sauron. So Sauron doesn't have a form. So yeah, he's like, he can't smile. And he's definitely not warm because he doesn't have a body and or a face.
Well, returning the ring to Sauron would
potentially give him that body and then you could rock that body.
Exactly.
Right? So that's that. And then, oh, this monkey can't stand to see you black and blue. Hobbits had those funny, furry little feet, right?
Okay, good point.
So she's talking about, as Frodo, his own little feet, and then black and blue. Okay, put the colors black and blue together. What do you get?
Black.
Purple.
Gray.
Oh.
Like Gandalf the Gray.
Oh.
Like Gandalf the Gray. So I can't stand to see you, like, with Gandalf fucking up your shit, right? And then I'll give you something sweet each time, like... they love to eat, right? 11 Z's and whatnot.
Right.
And then it's very clear this is Frodo on the journey and then walked for days with no one near and I return as chained and bound to you. That is Frodo talking about Sauron.
I mean, he gets marched as an orc prisoner through the wastes.
Exactly.
So. And he's wearing the ring on a chain.
Exactly. You guys, it's like you guys see what I'm saying. Case dismissed.
I do.
Maybe someone else has a thought.
That's pretty strong, Wendy.
Thank you. This is clearly a one-woman monologue as Frodo to Sauron, Lord of the Rings.
I do think it is about Lord of the Rings, but I actually think it is... This is a story of Gandalf visiting Theoden, and he's inspiring him to action.
I totally know that part. Yeah.
So this is like
it.
This is like a pep talk, too. So, the sexual component...
That's my question.
You might feel like it's a stretch. Well, here's the thing. Theoden's wife...
It's never a stretch.
Yeah. Theoden's wife has been deceased. Her name is Elfhild.
Hmm.
And she died giving birth to his only son, Theodred.
Theodred.
Theodred?
Yeah.
Okay. So these guys love attention.
They really do.
Yeah, they love it.
He's very... Rohan is the most emo place in all of Middle Earth.
Okay.
Like, even if you're in Mordor, like, you're still more of a goth than Rohan. It is like... Rohan is actually the most sort of like middle school place in Middle Earth because they're all like really obsessed with death and also horses. So
that's perfect for my Twitter alternative.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Yeah. Twitter. I bet there's like a they're strong Rohan community at Twitter. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so I'm just gonna go through the text again. So there's a scene when Gandalf comes back as Gandalf the White. He goes to Rohan to rescue Theoden, who's the king of Rohan. He's been closed off for years, and he's been under Saruman's...
Saruman, who's different than Sauron, and I knew that.
Yeah, yeah, they're definitely...
He's got orcs totally passing through his land all the time.
And so he's sitting in his chair. He's inaccessible. Uh-huh. Gandalf wakes him up. So they say, that old dog has chained you up all right. Now, Saruman's that dog, and there's... Here's the thing. It's pretty obvious that Sophie B. Hawkins is a pretty big Tolkien head because she knows that Saruman's name in Elvish is Curunir.
Cur? We what's all a cur? That.
That's a dog, baby. He's an old dog. If you go to translate the title of the song into Elvish, you get. Hold on. Let me pull this up.
I'll say it at the same time as you because I also know it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mithrandir. So Mithrandir, Gandalf's name is Mithrandir for the elves. So, I mean, that's essentially what he's saying. Like,
was any of this in the movie?
I don't feel like a lot of the subtext is in the movie.
But were any of these scenes in the movie?
Well, the scene where they wake up Theoden's in the movie. We have a clip of that.
Yeah.
We want to play that. I mean, I think the way that Gandalf looks at him makes it pretty clear.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty intense. I don't know how sexual I'd find this song or this moment if they're becoming lovers here.
Well, it's just a lot. Is it the first
movie or the second or the third?
It's the second movie.
That's a good one. That's a good movie.
That's usually the best one of any trilogy.
See, I think the first one is the best one in this case.
I could see that. I love that ending of the first one where they're like, no, we're going to fight on anyway.
This is very exciting for people who can't watch this.
Yeah, I mean, what's happening is Gandalf is driving the spirit of Saruman out of Theoden because he has a larger staff.
That's sexual.
Yeah.
It's very sexual.
Which is actually different from the book. In the book, he doesn't use magic to... drive Saruman out of Theoden, right?
This is sort of a pep. It's more of a pep talk.
It's a pep talk, and
that's
all about
nice.
Grima.
Yeah.
in the book.
So I think the point in that scene, he's basically blasting light at him. You know,
okay.
You see it; it gets very bright in there. So I think that's kind of what they're talking about when he says, "I'll rock you till the daylight comes."
He is the daylight in a way.
He is the daylight, and also when he gets Theoden in the Battle of Helm's Deep, he tells him, "Look to my coming at the first light on the fifth day at dawn."
Morning sex.
To the east. Yeah, morning sex. That's when I'm coming. Just a couple more textual things. Says, "Gonna fill you up, gonna make you cry." Part of what happens is Theoden is really closed off to his emotions. And you know, the flip side of that is he comes out of his catatonic state. He learns that Theodred is dead. And he also famously cries over the grave with Gandalf.
So these guys want to be lovers?
That's the one outlet that Saruman couldn't reach when he was taking him over.
Yeah. This is making all kinds of sense. I feel like my idea was stupid. Sean's is hitting every nail on the head.
Yeah, just a few more things. When he says I sat on a mountainside with peace of mind, that's when he's at the top of Zirik Ziggle in the Misty Mountains.
Sure.
But what did she say about Jungle Book? She says
the standard interpretation would be sort of like a something like her vagina.
No, but what I'm saying is she says, here's my point. I give you something sweet each time you come inside my Jungle Book. Stepping outside of our Lord of the Rings analysis for a second, I mean, I feel like that's very self-complimentary, but also weird and loaded to call your vagina your jungle book.
This is what I'm saying about Sophie B. Hopkins.
That's a different writer.
Hopkins. She's reckless. She says the weirdest stuff. I understand. I mean, I really admire her. I think she's a great songwriter, great singer. I understand why a record company would be like, hey, lady, what are you doing?
Yeah.
See, go ahead.
Well, I mean, she's just very unpredictable is all I'm saying. So, like, she'll just say things like that, and they're like, are you sure you want to say Jungle Book? And she's like, yes.
But don't you feel like she's also that friend, like, you go to their house, and you're supposed to, like, go to the movies, but they're not ready, and then she, like, tries to sell you some tea, and then, like, you don't get to go to the movie because she makes you late. Like, I feel like she's that friend. She has a beautiful voice, and her hair is just on point at all times.
I think she also uses the word lover a lot in just casual conversation. Oh,
just casual conversation. My lover.
For sure.
Yeah, my lover.
Yeah. She's omnisexual. She's coming at you every which way.
Yeah. Sorry, but I interrupted your Lord of the Rings.
Well, do you have a couple more?
I think that's pretty much it.
I think it's
strong. Yeah, there's a point when you would say that maybe it's a little anachronistic. What would my New York friends understand? Yeah. And it's like a cave.
They're going up north where the Starks live.
Yeah, exactly. If you're underground in New
Get
York,
out.
It's, that's Wendy, all they understand.
Get
it's where
out.
The Starks live and Ned
There's
Stark.
There's no Starks here.
There's the Starks are up north because then they take the ring and they go up and Ned Stark's like, I don't want to go to King's Wendy? Landing.
So two other things to bring up about just in terms of like the unpredictability of these lyrics and the difficulty in explaining them. She famously likes wearing Miami Dolphins football jerseys. She always wanted one. Now she has one. Loves wearing it. If you watch the complete with shoulder pads, if you watch the documentary, the full-length documentary about Sophie B. Hawkins, which I highly recommend, it's one of the most bonkers things I've seen in the last year. It's really wild.
How long is it?
It's like 90 minutes.
Okay. Is it on Netflix?
No, I just found it like, yeah.
It's You're the only person who searched Sophie B. Hawkins documentary in the last like month. She got an alert on her phone. She's like, she's on her way here right now.
I mean, there's only like 130 views on it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. She knows that you watched it and she's coming for you.
She's like,
you were her lover.
Okay. So as for my case, I honestly can see all three directions. I think there's plenty of evidence for heroin here. The old dog would be heroin at this point, meaning like this drug has a hold of you. Free your mind, you won't feel ashamed. Obviously, like I can get you off this drug. And this monkey can't stand to see black and blue. It's sort of like, get addicted to me. Let me be the monkey on your back instead of this drug. Don't say you'll stay because then you'll go away. The unreliability of a junkie. She references the Rolling Stones, famous heroin guys. I return as chained and bound to you. She's sort of comparing her need for her lover to her lover's need for heroin. So, I mean, there's a lot there for heroin. As far as butt sex.
Well, let me just say that if in the heroin interpretation, I'm much less uncomfortable with her constant reference to being someone's mother. Because that's like a like, okay, you're getting off addiction. Because other than that, I'm like, omnisexuality is a spectrum. It's
maybe
a beautiful
rainbow.
Maybe
she's just
rainbow,
into
but...
people who do that baby play kind of stuff. What is that called?
Well, she is kind of wearing a diaper in the video.
Yeah,
so,
like those guys or girls who like to be treated like babies, and it's sexual. Yeah.
Right, what is that called?
I can't remember. It's called something.
It might just be called adult babies.
Adult babies, right. It's called adult babies. Sometimes the answer is right there in front of you. Maybe she's into adult babies. You should add adult babies as a category. Because honestly, I feel like it's there in a lot of songs.
Well, I do think like schoolboy. Wow. Okay.
At least back in the day, if you proposed that to her, she would probably be like, "Tight. All right."
Yeah.
Although people didn't say tight at that point.
They don't. She might have because she was a real outlier.
Yeah, she's ahead of her time. Now, as far as the butt sex, I'm just going to also throw in there this song, which I discovered, which I actually love, and if. You only look up one thing from this podcast, I'd say, well, yeah, the video, the documentary, but also this great song she wrote called Big Beautiful Bottom in My Face. It's not on any of her albums, but it's very good. I mean, it's horribly recorded, but if someone else were to cover it, you could turn this into a great little song. It seems to me like almost like great loosey-goosey 70s Bob Dylan. And I know she was a huge Bob Dylan fan, so it makes perfect sense. But take a look at this song.
Listen here, if you'd like to. Come a little closer. And a little more closer. I like you. And I love your big, beautiful bottle in my face. Then I'd love some swordfish to fill the extra space. Of all these luscious, luscious people, different sizes, shapes, and colors too. But none of them have a bottle at all like you. I love your big, beautiful bottle in my face.
So this song didn't make it onto any of her albums, as far as I know. But I think it's sort of like, if this song is about butt sex, it's sort of like everything else in the song is sort of like, by any means, get a hold of this person, whoever the person is she's talking about, and then just put her face in their butt. Like, she, nowhere is she clearer.
So, yeah.
And does the B stand for butt sex? Sophie Butt Sex Hawkins.
Oh, we don't know for sure. Up. Yeah.
All right.
Or let's let it remain a beautiful mystery. Anthony, so. Oh, yeah. Susan Butt Sex Anthony. Yeah. I remember that.
And then as far as my... I think you could put this in Lord of the Rings. I'd make it Eowyn. Eowyn talking to...
Eowyn, Richie. Get it right. I know everything about Lord of the Rings. It upsets me when you mispronounce it.
I'm so sorry, Wendy.
It's fine.
This could be Eowyn talking to Aragorn saying, like, you need to give up that elf lady and come over here with me. It makes a lot of sense, but the old dog has got you chained up, all right, would be probably talking about Elrond or maybe even Gandalf, who's sort of bossing him around.
What if she was like, it's Arwen, and she's like a feminist, so she doesn't want to call another woman a bitch, but she's like, this old dog, this ageless 1,000-year-old
Sophie Bitch Hawkins.
Yeah.
Right. So that would be Eowyn being like, because Eowyn is surprised when she learns how old Aragorn is, even though she still has the hots for him. But then
old is Aragorn?
Aragorn is, I think, 78, 178.
He's like 78 or he's like 80 years old. Yeah.
But someone Arwen goes to the gym.
Yeah.
Well, they have a different lifespan at that time.
Yeah, Middle Earth.
Right? But yeah, if you're like, wow, this older guy looks pretty young, I'm pretty interested in him. How old is his fiance? And it's like,
she's in thousands. Yeah.
She's 1,000 years old?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. I look terrible. A little old.
And you just think the whole time, like.
And so, in addition, sort of like this shame that Sophie keeps talking about in the song, makes perfect sense talking about Aragorn because he is ashamed of the failure of Isildur and, you know, his heirs.
Yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah, I mean, he's cool about it, but he's also like, that's where all of his trepidation comes from, is his shame in that Isildur, you know, fucked up.
Did
so
something.
And then later on, when she's talking about, I feel like a schoolboy, which is, you know, goes perfectly along with her Miami Dolphins outfit, but that would be Eowyn incognito, as was his name, Dunmadeer or something
like that.
Tagging along, eventually kind of saving the day against the Witch King, you know?
Yeah. I was gonna say that too.
Yeah, exactly. She's hanging out with Aragorn pretending to be a guy. So that all makes sense.
Well, honestly, when she says she's getting on her camel and riding it uptown, I'm getting on my camel and I'll ride it uptown too. Yeah.
Song.
Yeah, there's a lot of lyrics. Yeah, and I don't know if the camel helps me with any of the cases.
Oh, I feel like that kind of reminds me of the Nazgul steed.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
Or like the Lannisters.
The Lannisters. Wendy, that's two.
How many do I get? Like 100?
40.
40? Oh my God, I got to do some more.
We will not have
Jon Snow.
Butt Sex of Thrones in here?
Yeah.
Do they have any monkeys in Westeros? I don't think they...
In Westeros?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe as like background players, but not serving a key role. Not like the dire wolves.
Yeah.
They have elephants in Lord of the Rings. They probably have monkeys and they... I don't know. They never show any camels, I don't think.
There's dragons,
I did look that up, actually. There is, because there's an elvish word.
It's for camel?
Monkey.
Wait, do you actually know a lot of elvish words?
Well, I was using the elvish.
Have you both read Lord of the Rings?
I never read it.
Just you kidding. Read it? Wait, you read it? Yeah, you both have read it?
Yeah, yeah.
I never read it.
I mean, for having never read it, you know.
Yeah, and pretty good for never having read it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I can't call it. I think if I had to make a call,
are you kidding me? Sean and I made such convincing cases.
Your Lord of the Rings cases?
Yes, I object.
I went in with thinking I would be making kind of a controversial Lord of the Rings case and that people would be arguing for butt sex, but now that we've had this discussion, it just depends on what facet of Lord of the Rings Sophie B. Hawkins was interested in.
I really feel like, let's just say that you get some listeners on mm-hmm. this podcast, right? Mm-hmm.
Doubtful.
I think it could happen. It would be great if somebody would make a video of this song with all the clear Lord of the Rings references in it, because mm-hmm. now I can't think of anything else it could possibly yeah. be about.
Yeah, the upside for fan vids from this podcast are pretty enormous. You could eventually assemble an entire, like, 9-hour cut of Lord of the Rings completely backed by songs that we discussed.
Yes, yeah. Because it's clearly this is, I mean, you make whatever decision you fucking want, Richie. I'm sure mom and dad will agree with you. But
I am the pet, you know.
Yeah. No, it's Jenny. We all know it's Jenny.
It's Jenny.
It's Jenny.
I'm the only boy.
Yeah, but it's Jenny. Jenny's the favorite. We all agree. Yeah.
I am also the only boy. I think I'm like one parent. Well, no. My sister Kelly's the favorite.
Are you the heir to the throne?
Everybody always knows who the favorite is.
Keen Lair lands?
I guess I am.
Do you carry your father's sword?
Is that from Lord of the Rings?
I do carry Maybe. Like a pen and a post-it note thing often, which my father does. I've inherited that.
Oh, that's stunning.
He does economics.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, Richie, what's the verdict?
For me, overall, I'm going Eowyn. I think it all works out the best, but you know, yours are both. Sean, like, I just don't see where maybe Gandalf is into guys, but I don't think Theoden is into guys. So, I mean, it's sort of like you're kind of mixing butt sex and Lord of the Rings in that one.
That might be true.
You know what I mean? Whereas the Eowyn case is like you have a female speaker. You have a female character longing after someone that they can't have. And then you have that character feeling shame and the character saying, like, why don't you ditch that whole situation and come over here where I can take care of you? She knows it's not going to happen, mm-hmm. but... I just, you know.
What about my Frodo argument?
Plus the schoolboy thing, you know. She wasn't in.
I mean.
Who looks more like a schoolboy than Frodo?
Well, yeah, he looks like a second grader. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I should win.
With huge feet, though. That's understandably yeah. why Sauron would be like, come here, Frodo. He's got these giant feet, you know yeah. what they say.
But he's yeah. actually like in his 50s, too, right?
Something Frodo? Like
that. Yeah.
Is he that old?
Maybe he's not that old. Huh. I think he's pretty old. We'll see how old he is.
I can't believe you don't know that off the top of your head. I'm really embarrassed for you.
Well, some of these ages get confusing because it'll be like in this era, 1252 AG or something like that.
They leave for their quest. They leave Hobbiton the day after Frodo's 50th birthday.
Oh, how old is Daenerys Targaryen?
No clue. In the books or the show?
You have to say that's three.
That's three, Wendy.
I got tricked.
You've got 37.
37 more references to Game of Thrones. Oh, wait. No, I did other ones. I said direwolves.
Yeah, you're probably at like eight. Seven. I'm going to go back through this and I'll give you a
yeah.
number.
Yeah.
After which you and will be banned.
And if I have
banned.
Too many, I get killed.
Yeah, you it's get really killed nice by a podcast. Nazgul. I've had about enough of this. Well, okay. To address your Frodo thing, I think it's fine. I just, because... Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting to think, what if Frodo was faking it this whole time and actually wanted to join with Sauron?
Sexually.
I mean, the thing is, there's no joining with Sauron, obviously. He just kills everybody. But he, you know, he's sort
but
of
that's
like
a lot of people go out with somebody. Everyone's like, I dated him. He's terrible. Don't go out with him. And you go out with him anyway because you think, I don't know, maybe they got a certain something. Once he gets a body... You might feel like it's worth it. It might be like the best body ever. You don't know.
He was once very beautiful.
He was?
Yeah.
I knew that from when I read A Game of Ice and Fire.
Yep. Or you're never going to be able to come back on the podcast That's if you okay. blow all your chances on this one.
I know.
I'm sure you're dying to come back. All right. So if you have anything to support any of these cases, which I think we all place it in different contexts inside of Lord of the Rings as our leading contenders. I think there's strong cases for both butt sex and heroin, but overall I go for my Lord of the Rings case. Both of these clowns go for Lord of the Rings as well with their own cases. So if you agree with any of these and you have additional evidence, please call our phone line and leave us a voice message or email us at hbslotr@gmail.com. And we will potentially revisit these this song in a later podcast. So let's move on to number two. What do you guys think? Or anything else we want to jam on this one?
We've had enough.
She was kind of fascinating, though, I got to say. Like her, the fact that she was also campaigning with Hillary in 2016 was incredible.
2008.
2008.
She also.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, she was a big supporter this last time, too.
Oh. I mean, just were people like, wow, Sophie B. Hawkins is.
She just really wanted to clinch the vote.
Right.
Right. And it's very odd that she didn't like Barack Obama. I was trying to cut her some slack. Yes. She has an insane amount of energy. She's like sort of Janis Joplin-y. I'm surprised she isn't dead, honestly. But apparently she's calmed down. She has two children now. And she seems like
one of them was frozen for 20 years. Yes. That's very Lord of the Rings. Was a frozen embryo for 20 years. Whoa. And then she put it in her uterus or someone else's and had a baby from. That's very Lord of the Rings.
Is that Lord of the Rings? How is it?
Just like someone. Well, that guy was
someone
like,
coming back to life.
Like,
kind
of. Yeah, like you get put in a weird freezing, you know, like in Lord of the Rings when Han Solo gets frozen.
Isn't that what happens to, you know, the son of the king of Gondor, Renly Baratheon?
Renly Baratheon, yeah. Probably.
This is what happens when guests like you come on. They spread this contagion to Sean, and he starts doing stuff like this.
I know. I'm fun. Yeah. I ruin every podcast I'm on.
Although, you know, tons of interesting things. I just want to throw this out there. Really weird offshoot fun fact or speculation is that the song
Big Beautiful Bottom
is that the song Big Beautiful Bottom in My Face, one of my favorite Sophie B. Hawkins songs, link in the show notes, may have been the inspiration for the band Space Hog. Because in the song she says, I'm as happy as a pig in outer space because I have your big beautiful bottom in my face.
But there was also Pigs in Space on the Muppet Show.
Shit.
Pigs in Space.
You're right. That predates it. Okay.
So she was inspired by the Muppets.
I think you might be right.
I think Space Hog is actually named after manspreading.
Could she have inspired Space Jam?
All right. I'm going to take a pee. Then let's move on to our second.
I should turn this off, right? You're thinking.
So for our second song of the evening, we are going to tackle Poison. From Belle Biv DeVoe, 1989. Written by Elliot Strait, performed by Belle Biv DeVoe. That's Michael Bivins, Ronnie DeVoe, and Ricky Bell, who were all in New Edition, along with Ralph Transvant, Johnny Gill, and occasionally Bobby Brown, who they shout out at the end of the song. This is the first song from Belle Biv DeVoe. They later that summer came out with Do Me, which was also very popular. And here are the lyrics to Poison. Yeah, Spider-Man to freeze in full effect. Uh-huh. You ready, Ron? I'm ready. You ready, Biv? I'm ready, Slick. Are you? Oh, yeah. Break it down. Girl, I must warn you. I sense something strange in my mind. Situation is serious. Let's cure it because we're running out of time. It's oh so beautiful. Relationships, they seem from the start. It's also deadly when love is not together from the heart. It's driving me out of my mind. That's why it's hard for me to find. Can't get it out of my head. Miss her, kiss her, love her. Wrong move, you're dead. That girl is poison. Never trust a big butt and a smile. That girl is poison. Poison. If I were you, I'd take precaution before I start to meet a fly girl. You know, because in some portions, you'll think she's the best thing in the world. She's so fly. She'll drive you right out of your mind, steal your heart when you're blind. Beware, she's scheming. She'll make you think you're dreaming.
You'll fall in love and you'll be screaming demon. Poison, deadly, moving in slow, looking for a mellow fellow like DeVoe, getting paid, laid, so better lay low, scheming on a house, money, and the whole show. The low pro ho, she'll be cut like an afro. See what I'm saying, huh? She's a winner to you, but I know she's a loser. How do you know? Me and the crew used to do her. Poison. I was at the bar, shake breaking and taking them all, and that night I played the wall. Checking out the fellas, the highs and lows, keeping one eye open, still clocking the hose. There was one particular girl that stood out from the rest, poison as can be, the high power chest. Michael Bivens here, and I'm running the show, Belle Biv DeVoe. Now you know. Yo, slick, blow. And then, yo, fellas, that was another dope one. You know what I'm saying, Mike? Yeah, BBD in full effect. Yo, what's up to Ralph T and Johnny G? And I can't forget about my boy B Brown and the whole NE crew. Poison. In this song, they're describing the dangerous women, apparently, who are all around them. And it's a little bit confusing. This is 89. It's a little confusing what is so dangerous about that girl, what they mean by that girl being poison. I think since they reference prostitutes several times in the song, it makes it even more confusing, because on the one hand, they say that she's dangerous because she's going to like steal your heart. She's going to steal your money. And then there's also maybe she's going to give you a disease. I'm not quite sure. What do you guys think? What's going on with, what's going on in this song?
You want to know what I really think?
Yeah.
I think this song is about Spider-Man.
Because of that initial line.
Yes. At the very top, he says, yeah, Spider-Man and Freeze in full effect. So the girl in the story, the reason you're confused.
I am confused.
Is the girl or girls in this story are not girls. They're spiders.
They're spiders.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Never trust a big butt. What does a spider look like? Little in the front, and then the back is fucking enormous. Big, huge butt in the back.
So is that also what Baby Got Back is about? A spider?
No. Uh-uh. This one, though, it says Spider-Man right at the top, and you guys are fools.
But he says little in the middle, but I got much back. Yeah,
back. But there's lots of things that are little in the middle but have a lot of back. But this one, it says Spider-Man right at the top, and then he senses something strange in my mind. What's the first symptom that Spider-Man experiences, Peter Parker, after he gets bitten by a spider? Spidey sense.
Okay.
The Spidey sense starts tingling almost immediately. That's at the very beginning of the song. Right? And then it says, situation is serious. Let's cure it because we're... Like, at first, he thinks he can go back.
Go back what?
He doesn't have to be Spider-Man. He can just be Peter Parker.
So cure the...
Cure whatever happened with his spider. He doesn't know what it is.
He doesn't
right?
know why he's become Spider-Man.
Yeah, and then it's all so deadly. Like, he's suddenly... He's an ordinary kid, goes on a museum field trip or goes out in the alley or does whatever... Gets bitten by a spider, suddenly is involved in these life or death stakes. He didn't want it. He didn't ask for this. He just That's wanted right. to be a regular kid.
Okay.
And suddenly he's Spider-Man, right?
I see.
And then it's driving me out of my mind. That's why it's like this spider that he was kind of attracted to, but then bit him, is driving him literally out of his mind.
So he was attracted to the spider.
Yeah, because look, spiders your version are hot. Of Spider-Man. Spiders are H-O-T. They're like you said, they got a big butt, which is attractive.
Right, but they're, you know, many thousands of times smaller than a human.
I know, but you love what you love.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, so we're not here to cast aspersions yeah, exactly. on anyone.
That is actually...
So that girl is poison. It couldn't be more on the nose because it's a poisonous spider. In this case, radioactive. But there are also lots of regular poisonous spiders in the world. Never trust a big butt and a smile. I mean, I'm not saying spiders smile, but they don't not smile. Either.
Right. I'm just curious here, but yeah. is it like precaution? You take precaution when you're what? Having sex with a spider?
No. This is about why is not everything has to be about sex. I didn't say it was about butt sex. It's about a spider and Spider-Man. So then he right. says, if I were you, I'd take precaution before I start to meet a fly girl. What do spiders like to eat?
Oh, flies.
Yeah. Dummies. Wake up. Okay. Because in some portions, you'll think she's the best thing. Like when you're first with a spider, that moment before the spider bit him was pretty fun. And then a spider bit him. Then it was like, shit, with great power comes great responsibility. And then she's so fly because she caught a fly. Driving right out of your mind. And then beware, she's scheming. Who schemes better than a spider? Would you ever have the time to make a fucking web like that? That's no. so intricate.
Also, you don't have
They're
to sing
born
them.
Knowing it. What?
Now that I'm not enjoying it.
I do. I have to sing it. I'm walking the listeners through my theories like Kevin Costner at the end of JFK. And when I put a fucking bow on this thing, you guys are going to lay down because you're going to be so tired.
I'm already
you'll
tired.
You'll fall in love and you'll be screaming, demon. What do we look at Halloween times? Spiders.
Yeah.
Right? So then poison, deadly, moving in slow, looking for a mellow fellow like DeVoe. You can just see, you did it with your fingers. The spider's creeping. It's creeping on them, getting paid.
Is it getting paid?
So better lay low. That was the
who's
that,
paying this spider?
Yeah. Well, whoever, what company made the spiders radioactive? Do you guys remember from?
I don't remember what the company's name was.
Osborne Corporation.
Yeah, exactly. They're coming up with all kinds of schemes.
So they have some sort of financial reward system for spiders that they manufacture that end up biting more people. Okay,
yeah, and then at the end to wrap it up, this kind of. Describes the night the spider bites him. He was at the bar, shake breaking and taking them all. And that night, I played the wall. Check it out, the fellas, the highs and lows, keeping one eye open, still clogging the hose, right? Like looking for spiders around the bar. Are they up there? Is there a cobweb? What does this guy see? This is like when you're into something a little alternative.
Yeah, sure, sure.
But you're going out with your more vanilla friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, what I really like is
amputees,
like,
you know, like.
Or like you're just like very into very old
tall
men.
People, old silver foxes.
A silver fox. Like, you know. And I can say this because I am one. You like fat girls. Like, you're like, oh, I'm looking for what I like. Uh-huh. I don't want my friends to totally know. And then she says, keeping one eye open, still clocking those. There was one particular girl that stood out for the rest. It's this fucking spider. And Peter Parker sees the spider. He's at the bar with his friends. He's underage. I mean, I don't know what I want to do with the spider, but I know I like the spider.
Right.
And
he's in Nate.
Bam. Poisonous can be the high power chest. That's when she puts her little fucking spider front legs up.
Oh, and it's then, like a thorax.
Yeah, thorax. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. And then.
It's insect stuff.
Then it just goes out on a more like fun note. But they told this story of Peter Parker beginning to end. Well, actually just the beginning.
When he origin
bitten
story
by the spider. They wanted to keep it a secret what they were up
sure,
to.
Sure, that's the code.
Who do you think Freeze is in the beginning?
Oh, that's probably Mr. Freeze from
Batman.
Uh-huh. Or Batman, whichever one. You know who it might be? Ned Stark. Yes, that's what I was going to say.
Turning off the equipment.
Sean said it. Don't turn off the equipment. I'm gonna go to... No, oh my God.
So
They're hurting me. All right, somebody else go because I think no one can beat me.
The only problem, well, okay.
I mean, if any songs were ever written about Spider-Man, that might be feasible. But as we know, every song that was ever written, even all instrumentals, are about heroin, butt sex, or Lord of the Rings.
I object, Your Honor.
I do think that this song does heavily involve a spider. But it is Shelob, the giant spider from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, here we go again.
Recurring character.
Here we go again.
Yeah. So I think this song, Bill Biv and DeVoe are essentially Sam, Frodo, and Gollum, who are singing about their relationship to the Ring of Power, but they're outside Shelob's lair. So, you know, they feeling something strange in your mind. Like, essentially, the ring does kind of give you Spidey sense, the equivalent of that, I think, right?
And vice versa.
Yeah, but also,
you know,
this is just
you can
about
be
sensed.
And they're running out of time. Sauron's power's growing. He's going to find him. The Nazgul are looking for him. It's driving me out of my mind. That's why it's hard for me to find. What's hard for them to find? The path to Kirith Ungol.
That's true.
Yeah, it's hidden. Gollum's the only one who knows
it. They even
it.
Are losing each other in the dark.
Yeah. And when they say never trust a big butt and a smile, they are talking about a spider. But
so you both came down on big butt and a smile means a spider.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe Sean and I are into some weird stuff on the web.
Yeah.
About spiders and how hot they are. I bet that's a thing. I'm going to Google it when this is over.
But I mean, literally they're getting poisoned by the ring being on them. And then Shelob also poisons them.
Right.
And then the second rap, when he's talking about being at the bar, shake, breaking, and taking them all. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Frodo dancing at the inn at Bree. He played the wall. He was checking out the fellas, the highs and lows. He's looking for Aragorn. And then he accidentally puts the ring on. It was poison to him. And then the other thing that really made me think that it was Lord of the Rings is that they shout out the whole NE crew. Who lives in the northeast of the Shire? Mary.
Mary yes. lives. I did not actually. He lives know in
the
that
northeast Mary of the Shire, the Brandywine. Yeah, because that's where the Brandywine River is.
Okay, okay.
So when they go on the East Road, that's why they pick him up last.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So I feel like that's them just being like, you know what? We know we got separated from the hobbits. Now we got a trio with Gollum. We don't totally trust him, but like we gotta get through this pass.
Sean, I have a question.
Yeah.
I know you've done this show before.
Yes.
Has every song been about Lord of the Rings?
No. I said that you ought to know was part of an entire album about the opioid crisis.
But so. That's every other song. It was about Lord of the Rings.
No, Kiss on My List, he said, was about heroin, too.
I'm submitting this as evidence that Sean
is
only
Sauron.
Only says Lord of the Rings, and that my Spider-Man argument is therefore strengthened because I didn't automatically say it's about Lord of the Rings.
No, I'd say it's about half-half, like which is a little warped. You know, like it would be one-third, one-third, one-third.
Do you think this podcast tonight is a metaphor for Lord of the Rings?
Well, I mean, it is kind of like a council where a lot of people don't always agree with each other.
I think my argument stands.
Go on different paths.
My argument stands that Sean.
It's kind of like being at Elrond's, you know.
That this whole podcast is just Sean's pathological need to compare things to Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Everything else around it is a charade.
You know, Éomer and Éowyn are sister and brother. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
You
know.
He psychologically manipulated me to come up with the idea and then
he
get in contact with him.
Ago.
It's kind of what Saruman did, honestly.
Yes,
it is a little bit like that, isn't it?
A fool.
Yeah, I'm just a toy in Sean's butthole.
Yeah, like Peter Parker when he got bitten by a spider.
The other thing I would say is there's a pause. I wouldn't totally rule out the interpretation that it is about heroin, just because like me and the boys used to do her. And in that case. Okay. What a big butt and a smile would be a blunt, because it's like a big cigarette butt.
But that doesn't have much to do with heroin.
Well, it's a gateway drug.
Okay. Yeah.
I refuse to say.
But I still think definitely Frodo, Sam, and Gollum singing about the ring.
Well, yeah, the trio thing is pretty cool, and the big butt and a smile thing, which they do, but and the poison thing that all makes sense. I mean,
and you would, yet you didn't support Spider-Man at all.
I just don't think anyone would ever write a song about Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man.
Yeah, that song's about
song.
Butt sex.
Yeah,
no, it's not.
About butt sex.
No, how dare you say that?
Spider-Man,
you would say
Spider-Man,
it was about Lord of the Rings.
Spider-Man, where they're like shooting a web on you. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to sit down and look at the song called Spider-Man to figure out why it's actually about heroin, butt sex, or Lord of the Rings, but... Mm-mm. So, I mean, I'll just come in here and maybe save the day on this one. I mean, to tell you the truth, my interpretation of this song is a little, you know, we've had some anti-LGBT stuff already, maybe some nice misogyny from MTV. And now we're going to get back into some good old homophobia here. I think that the Bill Biv DeVoe song is about butt sex. It's accidentally about butt sex. I don't think these guys set out to write a song about butt sex. I just think that everything that was going on at the time led this song to be about butt sex. This was part of, and I've addressed this before on the podcast, that especially during the 80s, we had come through the sexual revolution and free love. And in the 80s, sex was very often in popular music described as dangerous. Men are dangerous. Women are dangerous to each other.
Spiders are dangerous.
Love is a battlefield. Spiders are a little bit dangerous. And I think that's, you know, that all comes out of, I mean, the AIDS crisis was a huge part of it. And I think really that's where this is coming from. This is a part of, this is when people were wearing condoms on their, you know, pinned to their outfits in popular R&B videos. because in this song, as I was saying in the intro, there seem to be like two dangers going on here. One is like, oh, she's either going to, or maybe three, she's either going to break your heart, she's going to sort of manipulate you and take all your money, or she's just actually dangerous to sleep with because she could have something or other. And I think, especially, there were all kinds of sort of like horrible overreactions to the AIDS crisis. You know, I don't really need to get into that and make the end of this podcast a horror show. But I think, you know, the popular content or the popular impression at the time was that sort of like, you know, always use condoms, don't be sexually adventurous, because it become a dangerous world sexually out there. And for, especially for young men like this, these guys are barely out of high school at this point. They're just going to see that as the source, you know, they're going to see the butt sex having gay community as the source of that danger that they're describing in this situation. And they're unfortunately sort of, they're doing it additional injury to the gay community by taking that danger away from them and giving it to, the innocent women they encounter in their day-to-day lives. Not the funniest, interpretation.
Do you want me to sing a Spider-Man song again?
Well,
Spider-Man, I would say...
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, I am a big Spider-Man.
Man. Well, what you could say that at the beginning of the song, it does seem like they're being responsible sexual partners and checking in
sure.
that they're ready for butt sex. Like, how many songs begin with someone asking multiple times if they're ready
sure.
and slick?
Right, and then right after yeah. that... They go into, the situation is serious. Let's cure it because we're running out of time.
Oh.
I mean, it's all right here. And one wrong move, you're dead.
It is this song. I do have to say, I was at work. I was enjoying listening to it. And then I watched the video. And I was like, it's such an enjoyable song. And then you get to this. I mean, I'm stepping outside of your podcast concept for a minute. No, so part of me. But it's like you get to this moment where they go, what is it? Oh, she's a loser. How do you know?
We used to do her.
It's so misogynistic.
It's so misogynistic.
That it's like this song that I found so enjoyable when I was 14 when this song came out. I loved this song. And at the time, that like kind of blew right past me. Or you kind of were like, yeah, a girl who has had sex with a lot of guys, that is bad. Or whatever. Like,
sure.
And now it's so anachronistic and it's so weird. And it brings this like really fun song to a total halt.
Yeah.
It's
30 years old, I guess.
Of course. But like you think back, like you always think that at the time that you were living, people were like somewhat open-minded. And then you listen to this and you're like, oh, that's so awful. Of course, you didn't live in like cancel culture then or anything. And the songs are still very like, there's many misogynist songs out there currently released this year even or whatever, but it's just like
they're definitely describing her as like that girl's a prostitute getting paid laid so better lay low a low pro ho.
They might be saying she's a sex worker, huh?
There's something to be said too about Michael Bivins. Seems like he's almost displaying some omnisexuality a la Sophie B. Hawkins here, where he's like,
yeah,
he's checking out the fellas and clocking the hoes.
Yeah, he does say checking out the fellas. And then at the end,
he says, yo, slick blow.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, maybe he's...
Yeah, Ricky Bell there.
Yeah.
I mean, that occurred to me too. And there's a whole sort of like, I mean, the rates were higher in the African-American community. And there was the, you know, sort of this like the down low, you know, guys who were bi, but, you know, the lack of acceptance in the community.
This is like a real analysis. This is not like a joke anymore.
No, this is not a joke. I mean, this is about, I do think that this song has like its origin. I'm not saying it's, they don't think they're talking about butt sex, but because they're talking about the paranoia.
No, there is some sexual anxiety in this song.
Well, definitely.
I mean, he's mostly just singing backup, and then his verse is, you know, he's scared of one particular girl stands out, and then poison. He says poison is going to be the high powered chest, and he's like, no. It seems like he's turning away from girls entirely.
Yeah.
Right.
Possibly. Telling Ricky to fellate him. It's possible.
It's possible. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Sort of like the sort of extra taboo nature of bisexuality and homosexuality
well, and
in the African-American community in the 80s was well, it was at least a contributing factor to the epidemic. You know, it's a community can acknowledge, like, oh, I'm gay or I'm bi, then they can not only be accepted it's like that epidemic kind of happened in that darkness of well, we don't talk about this in this community. You know,
do you want me to sing Spider-Man again?
Yeah, please, could you?
Spider-Man.
Well, I mean, I'm
you did it.
Yeah, I'm pretty convinced on my case. You guys are both. It is kind of amazing that you both decided.
Thought it was about Spider-Man. Because I've never met Sean before tonight in my life.
And when you said,
clearly we're on the same spider sex message boards.
Blown away.
Yeah. We're on the same spider message boards, probably. Yeah. Like late at night. Like,
probably.
Clickety, clickety, clickety. Oh, hot new spider collection.
And sometimes I'm just like, oh, well, you know. Shelob is actually kind of I think maybe the Marvel comics were thinking about Ungoliath when they first derived this.
That is what you're like.
That was a really good impression.
Thank you.
It's almost like Sean King was here.
I've been bullied.
I didn't bully you about Lord of the Rings, did I?
No, Wendy, you didn't bully us at all here. You came on our show and respected the boundaries of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And just...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
I ruin podcasts. That's my thing.
No. You played a certain game almost.
A game within a game.
Yeah. It's a game you play when you don't have time to do any actual research.
Well, thank you very much for coming on. This has been a fantastic time. And we are also recording this podcast at the dining room table where Wendy and I both learned how to do basic fractions
and ate hundreds of meals together.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You guys, I want to make a big announcement. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
I don't know if you'll be able to find it in the track, but during this podcast, I audibly farted.
Oh,
you audibly farted?
I heard it.
I'm going to go through this pretty carefully. Find that fart and I will put a flanger
on it.
Yeah. I'll sweeten it. Put some echo.
Yeah.
Slap echo. Yeah, this has been fantastic. It's always lovely to come in here and really sort of get into some truth telling, you know? I love it. There's VH1's Behind the Music where you kind of learn, like, oh, that's interesting. And then there's this show.
I think that's an accurate summary.
Yeah. It is. Well, it's accurate that they both exist.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Once again, if you have additional evidence to add to any of these cases, please call our phone line listed in the show notes, and please feel free to email your case about either poison or damn, I wish I was your lover. And we will potentially, air your case, on a future podcast episode. Theme music by Wet and Reckless. Bam, 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 bam,
bam. Spiders.
Spider sex.
That's I'm the original lyrics. That was the first draft.
I'm going to email both of you a whole bunch of spider sex anime shit just to freak you out after this.
I've seen all of it.
You've seen all of it.
It's going to bore the crap out of me. Honestly. All right.
Thanks, everybody out there, for joining us on this episode of Heroin, Butt Sex, and Lord of the Rings. See you next time.